Hall and the American Broadcasting Company present America's Town Meeting of the Air.
Town meeting tonight, from Washington, D.C., do we really elect our own president? Here's Senator John J. Sparkman, Senator George D. Aiken, Elmer Davis, and Roscoe Drummond. Hear both sides on Town Meeting Tonight. Everybody listen.
Tonight from the Department of Interior Auditorium in the nation's capital, we bring you the nation's favorite radio forum, America's Town Meeting of the Air. Our hosts this evening are the editors of the magazine 47, who have cooperated with us in arranging this town meeting, which is to be a discussion of the proposals made by Mr. Roscoe Drummond in the leading article in the current issue on the subject, A People's President in 48. Since your town meeting has already presented you with discussions of the issues now before Congress, aid to Greece and Turkey, Russian-American relations, the question of communism in this country, we turn tonight to a very fundamental question. A question which concerns each and every one of us as a thinking American in exercising our right to select the President of the United States. So we invite you to join us now as we present our moderator, the President of Town Hall, New York, and founder of America's Town Meeting of the Air, Mr. George V. Denny, Jr. Mr. Denny.
Good evening, neighbors. It's good to be back in the nation's capital again, and we're happy to cooperate with our friends, the writers and editors of 47, the magazine of the year, which has recently published, in the current number that is, a highly provocative article by Roscoe Drummond on the subject, A People's President in 48. My 16-year-old son reminded me this afternoon that if we really wanted to be on top of the news, we'd be discussing the question, should Happy Chandler have suspended Leo DeRocher? Mr. Drummond, let's start this discussion off right with a picture of just how the President of the United States is elected. It's a much more fundamental question. So few of us take part in the initial steps, let me give you a brief statement of the present procedure which has been agreed to by all the speakers here present. Now, each party selects its candidates at national party conventions. The delegates to these conventions are selected in various ways, through primaries, state conventions, party caucuses, and they may be appointed by state committees, who may or may not have met in smoke-filled rooms. 12 to 13 states have presidential preference primaries in which the voters are given the opportunity to advise the delegates of their preference. Most of you have heard our national conventions over the radio, as they've been thoroughly covered by radio since 1924. You're able to hear and sometimes see what goes on in the convention halls, but what you don't see or hear is what goes on in the smoke-filled rooms outside the convention hall. And this is the particular target of the attack by Mr. Drummond and Senator Aiken in our debate tonight. So let's hear first just what Mr. Drummond has in mind to improve the present situation. Mr. Roscoe Drummond, one of the 350 owner contributors of 47, chief of the Washington News Bureau of the Christian Science Monitor. Mr. Drummond.
Mr. Denny and friends, whether Leo DeRocher should be allowed to abuse umpires, I hold that he should be allowed to vote in national primaries. Senator Aiken and I are asking a practical political reform. We are asking that our political parties let the voters, instead of the party professionals, choose their presidential candidates. We hope that you will welcome, as voters, a little more citizenship, a little more voting power. We'll welcome having democracy a little more democratic, and we'll want to do something about it. It can be done, and it needs to be done now, before we suddenly find that the party machines have decided which two candidates we're going to be allowed to choose from in selecting our next president. As Mr. Denny has explained, the discussion tonight stems, in part at least, from an article appearing in the current issue of 47 Magazine. And I submit that if this matter commends itself to town meeting, then Senator Aiken and I are at least asking the right question. There is, I am confident, a right answer. I submit, and I doubt if Mr. Davis or Senator Sparkman will deny, that we, the voters, do not democratically elect our president because we are not allowed democratically to choose our presidential nominees. True, as Republicans and Democrats, we are allowed to vote to elect one of two presidential candidates. But when are you and I, as party voters, going to demand of our parties that we be allowed to vote to determine our presidential candidate? The question which Senator Aiken and I would like to ask you, and which we invite you to ask others, is this. Why shouldn't we, the voters, choose our president from among 140 million Americans instead of being forced to choose between two? When it comes to selecting a president from the two major presidential nominees, we have, as they said at Yalta, a free and unfettered choice. When it comes to nominating the two major presidential candidates, the Republican and Democratic parties are monopolies in restraint of political freedom. They ought to abandon their monopolistic practices voluntarily or be made to abandon them. They will not do so unless the voters demand it vigorously. Our political leaders have lately, and with reason, been calling on the labor leaders to democratize the labor union. Isn't it about time to call upon our political leaders to democratize their political parties, our political parties? As voters, why don't we do something about it? Let's demand be removed from the hands of the directorate of the parties and placed in the hands of the real owners of the parties, the voters. There is a way of doing it fairly and democratically, if party professionals are willing. The method which Senator Aiken and I are advocating is simply this, that both the Democratic and Republican parties conduct binding national pre-convention party primaries. The primaries would be nationwide, would be simultaneous. The party professionals frequently, too frequently, impose their choice of presidential nominees upon both parties, not because the voters are too lazy to vote for adequate primaries in which to vote. National parties designed to carry and elect a national president. Because our political parties are national, the party primaries for the nomination of presidential candidates also need to be national. Senator Aiken, and I suspect Senator Sparkman, if you will admit it, know how convention nominations can be rigged. Not regularly, but too often. The time is at hand when it ought not to be accidental that the major parties choose presidential nominees whom the parties, whom the voters prove they want by voting for them, not whom the professionals guess they want. The time is at hand when the voter opinion of each party, not as an accident. The voters should be the insiders, not the outsiders, who have to hire the Western Union to send usually I submit that it cannot be said that we elect our presidents until we democratically choose our presidential nominees. National binding pre-convention primaries for both parties is, we believe, a practical means to that end. Thank you.
Thank you, Roscoe Drummond, for some straight-from-the-shoulder talk. And now there seems to be a difference of opinion among this contributor-owner setup on the magazine 47. For here comes Elmer Davis, author, former director of the OWI, news commentator for the American Broadcasting Company, who's heard each weekday over this network, Monday through Friday, who holds a different view. Mr. Elmer Davis. Mr. Davis.
Mr. Chairman, appearing in the invidious position of disagreeing with my old friend Roscoe Drummond, I don't at all maintain that the American people now nominate their own president. The nominations, as Mr. Drummond points out in his recent article in 47 Magazine, are made by the politicians. But the politicians almost always, not quite, but almost always, pick the man who they think will get most votes. And I don't think the alternative proposed by Mr. Drummond of nationwide primaries binding on the party convention would work a good deal worse. The classic cases urged against the present system of nominations in terms usually dominated by a small group of political leaders are the nomination of Harding in 1920 or Roosevelt in 1912. The latter case was Wayne Steele, whom knew by stealing the nomination they were losing the election, but who preferred to see a Democrat in the White House rather than there again and leader of the Republican Party besides. The Republicans are a party of group leadership, not of individual leadership. Theodore Roosevelt was the first strong individual they had turned up since Abraham Lincoln, and they are not likely to have a man like him soon again. As for the Harding nomination, that was outrageous, of course. But 1920 was, as William Randolph Hearst frankly put it, a yellow dog year. The Republicans knew they could win with anybody. I doubt if we're going to have a yellow dog year again very soon for either party. There were optimistic Republicans who thought for a minute or two last November that 1948 was going to be one, but they know better now. So these two outstanding scandals of the present nominating system depend on conditions that are not likely to be repeated very often or very soon. Now let's see where the present system has worked well. Discounting renominations, since the man in the White House can almost always get himself another nomination if he wants it, I believe almost all the nominations in recent years have reflected a popular demand. The demand may have been synthetic, the fruit of hard pre-convention organization and a shrewd publicity buildup, but it was there. In 1932, I was, in my capacity as one citizen who in those days could vote, I live in Washington now and consequently have no more civic rights than a blanket Indian on a reservation, but in those days, when I could vote, I was against the nomination of Roosevelt. I was still for Al Smith. But if that Democratic convention of 32 had nominated Al Smith or anybody else but Roosevelt, it would have been a defiance of the will of the great majority of Democratic voters. So with the nomination of Landon in 36. However, the popular sentiment in his favor was whipped up. Its existence was undeniable. Any other nomination would have been an affront to the popular will. And I am inclined to think that was the case with the Dewey nomination, too, in 44. The case Mr. Drummond cites as an exception in his 47 article, the nomination of Wilkie, was indeed an exception to nomination by political bosses, but not the kind of exception he says. I happen to think that Wilkie was by far the best of the candidates who presented themselves to that convention, but it was no popular demand that put him over. It was a whirlwind assault by a group of shrewd publicity men, using tactics with which old-time politicians were unfamiliar and were unable to cope. So our present system, with rare exceptions, doesn't work too badly. In its place, what does Mr. Drummond propose? Binding nationwide primaries, with the high man getting the nomination for president and the number two man for vice president. But notoriously, primaries seldom attract a high percentage of the party membership, except in the southern states where they are the real election. Suppose in a nationwide primary with a dozen candidates running, 30% of the enrolled Republicans turned out to vote, and the high man got, say, 23% of the total vote cast, which is far from impossible. He would then be the Republican presidential candidate, though only 7% of the Republicans had voted for him. A system like that could be manipulated by the professionals, as state primaries have been manipulated almost everywhere,